All right, fans of Metal Asylum, this is Jack Mankin. I'm here today talking to Pat Gesualdo, who's actually currently, and I think in the future, in the years to come, is going to be really one of the major important people driving the metal music scene today. So it's a great honor to be speaking with Mr. Gesualdo. So, Pat, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me.
Oh, thank you for all your time. It's a great honor, and I deeply appreciate it.
Great. Well, you know, I've thought about in your introduction going through your titles, but I know you have a couple of them. So the major ones that I know that I'm aware of are, of course, the CEO of the Hall of Heavy Metal History, and as well as the founder and CEO, I believe, of the DAD program. So do you have more titles you want to throw into the mix there?
Yeah, no, that's enough. Yeah, the Hall of Heavy Metal History and the DAD program. Yes, sir. Drums and Disabilities.
Right. Let's start. In the beginning, the DAD program has been around for a bunch of years now, and I mean, I've heard you tell us, but if you don't mind retelling the story, how did that program come into existence?
Well, the DAD program has been in existence for about over 12 years now, where Mayor Bloomberg and his administration originally helped me launch the program in the New York City schools. I pioneered something called drum therapy, which helps retrain the synapses in the brain for children with and even adults with various disabilities, whether it's autism, Tourette's, MS, cerebral palsy, Down syndrome. And so we do our pioneering drum therapy techniques actually now in over 15 countries. Throughout the world, we go to schools and mental health facilities and health facilities and community centers.
That's fantastic, too. That's really that's great work. I'm sure you should be very proud of you know all that you've accomplished with that.
Yes, I'm very grateful to be able to return what I was so fortunate to have received, because I had a severe battle with a disability myself as a child, and at the same time, I wanted to play the drums, and that's kind of how the whole thing started.
And so as for the other hat we talked about, as you're the CEO of the Hall of Heavy Metal History, what can you tell us about how that got started?
Well, the Hall of Heavy Metal History got started when I was actually watching the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame last year. And, you know, I think you might have heard this story too. But so I'm watching the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and finally Deep Purple gets inducted, finally. And they're out giving the awards, and, you know, John Lord's wife comes up to the podium, and the camera kind of pans to the audience. And everybody's like half asleep. There's maybe like four people clapping. And I was just outraged at that, you know. And I guess I should explain my bias, because I'm probably the biggest Deep Purple fan in the world, but probably in the planet. But you know, I mean, it's John Lord. How could that happen? So I was furious at that. So it was right at that time when Ian Paice was up there with John Lord's wife, and, you know, they're talking, and everybody's like half asleep, and I was like, no, something really has to be done about this. So I said, I know what I'm going to do. I said, I'm going to start an award show that focuses specifically on metal musicians only, and I'm going to call it the Hall of Heavy Metal History, and that's how the whole thing started, right then and there.
Yes, yeah, I do remember that story. And then, of course, you know, it's great to have their current keyboardist was at that ceremony.
Donny Airey, I brought that up. What a great honor, because, you know, Don, I'm such a huge fan of Don Airey, too, going back to the Black Sabbath days. And, you know, Don Airey is literally the most recorded musician in the world. He's on over 500 recordings.
But I think he's also a great representation of what I see happening with the Hall, is that he's not a household name, but, you know, absolutely, unquestionably, he's deserving of the Hall. And I think that was there was a theme of that, in my opinion. You know, someone like Rudy Sarzo is a hero to all of us in the community, but, again, not necessarily a household name, even though some of his acts that he's been associated with are. Can you comment a little bit on that? Was that a conscious decision to kind of really honor the guys who are the pillars but not necessarily the most famous?
Yes, absolutely, and thank you for bringing that up. Yeah, the Hall of Heavy Metal History is all about those musicians who have been carrying that flag, fighting so hard to keep metal relevant for so many years, and nobody cares. You know, we the fans do, but that's about it, and the media, but that's, you know, and certain metal media, I should say, but that's about it. you know, it's unfortunate. So, you know, these are our heroes. These are the guys who are out there, you know, every day for decades making and trying to keep metal music relevant. So the whole heavy metal history is all about them. It's also all about the fans, too, because the fans play such a crucial part of the whole thing as well. And our charity arm of things, too. I mean, that's also important that we can't forget about that either. You know, at the Hall of Heavy Metal History, the proceeds going to the Ronnie James Dio Stand Up and Shout Cancer Fund, which that is just such a great honor, too, to be able to help Wendy Dio and the whole team over there. You know, one of the things I'm doing that Wendy and I are working on together, especially with my end with the DAD program, is really reaching out to help children with cancer as well and their families.
That is another great point. That's something else I was hoping to touch on, as you know, the fact that again, this was not a vanity project for you or even for, you know, a small group of people. It's ended up doing a great thing, and Wendy Dio is with the Stand Up Shout for Cancer charity.
Yeah, and you know, and really, yeah, it's never ever about me. It's all about those little boys and girls and their families, and even those adults who need help. You know, I volunteer so much, especially with the DAD program, and now the Hall of Heavy Metal History. I mean, I'm focusing on the same things, but especially with the Hall of Heavy Metal History as well, just doing that and trying to do some great things through metal music as well. Yeah, you know, that's the other thing, now I think about it, really. And I had this talk with Rudy Sarzo not too long ago, where we were discussing, you know, the outreach, the philanthropic outreach, and how we can help. And I really think, you know, that puts a different spin on quote-unquote heavy metal to the rest of the world, let's say, because the rest of the world, a lot of people think, well, heavy metal is devil music and, you know, all that stuff, and it's all bad. But that's not true. So one of the things I think that's really cool to go through that organization is to really, you know, just put a different spin on it and tell the people, you know, listen, heavy metal is not bad. We're not bad people. We're not devil worshippers, you know. We're good people.
Right. And, of course, that goes back to and Craig Goldie at your event made these comments, but it goes back to, I think, how much of this is inspired by Ronnie James Dio, who famously, of course, was behind the STARS charity, the Hearing Aid charity, in the 80s to feed starving children in Africa. So that was, you know, that's the heavy metal stuff that we see, but, yeah, maybe the world doesn't necessarily see as much.
Yeah, but those charities do such a good thing, even Stand Up and Shout, which has raised a couple $1 million now to help pancreatic cancer research and things like that. It's just wonderful donating to hospitals and research centers, and, you know, and that's what it's all about. And you also look at Who Cares, right? When you look at with Ian Gillan and Tony Iommi when they did their Who Cares project to help, whether it was music school in Armenia or other people. I think that's just wonderful.
Right, that was a great double album. That's a great example, too, that people shouldn't forget about. So let's talk a little bit about the event. Again, you know, as I said, I was there. And to me, it was really a blast. What's kind of your post-mortem on the event? What do you think was your favorite parts, and was there anything you want to see improved in the future? What can you tell us about the event itself?
Well, yeah, it was a great event, and thank you for being able to come out there. That was just wonderful, and definitely a shout-out and a huge thank you to all the fans and the inductees and the family and friends who showed up. The event went really, really well, and I was really surprised at the turnout. I mean, I really, really was, and again, I'm grateful to be able to raise all the money because all the proceeds go to Stand Up and Shout Cancer Fund. So I'm grateful in that aspect, too. I'm glad, of course, people showed up. It was just a wonderful night, wasn't it? I mean, it was just history. We made history. We're the first metal awards show, and going forward is going to be great next year. We're already working on next year. It's going to be bigger and better than ever in a new venue. The venue we were at, we were having some issues with another conference in town that kind of ties up everything. So they were just trying to shut us down right and left everywhere we were because they have control over all the hotels and everything. So the last minute I had found this independent venue, which was great. But I kind of worked things out for next year and moving forward, which is great too, because, you know, if you think about it, and I don't mean to sound narcissistic, but I put the whole show on myself, 3,000 miles away in New Jersey, and I was the only one doing everything from soup to nuts. So luckily when we got there, you know, had some people, had a team of people to help too. But next year, just going to, you know, tweak it a little bit, have some more exciting things that we'll be announcing shortly in the near future. And it's going to be even bigger and better than ever, which I'm really excited about too.
Oh, and see, you beat me a little bit to the punch. That was going to be my next question. So what can we look forward to in the future for the event?
Well, there's one thing that I'm working on now, of course, is bringing the Hall of Heavy Metal History to all the fans. So I'm working on some outreach events where that will happen hopefully in spring and summer, where we're going to be doing, I don't want to say too much, but we're going to be doing some outreach to the fans, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
All right, excellent. Well, yeah, I'm looking forward to all of that, and I'm definitely looking forward to seeing this event grow. One thing, a personal request here, is that really you have to have Eddie Trunk host every year. He was a perfect host.
Wasn't Eddie phenomenal? I thank Eddie so much, and yeah, I'm fine with that too every year if he's willing to do it. We're willing to have him. That was just awesome.
Yeah, and he added so much, brought so much love of the music and the genre and the people. So I really think he was the perfect person to lead the whole thing.
He was the first one I thought of as an MC, to tell you the truth. I knew it, you know. It's just, he's the man for the job, no two ways about it.
All right, very cool. And now, so this is a hall, so is there a plan in the near future or far future to have a physical location for the hall?
Well, I can say yes and no, as crazy as that sounds. I have been approached already to do something with a permanent building, which I'm kind of, you know, looking into. But most importantly, I want to bring the Hall of Heavy Metal History to the fans, whether it's a tour. So I've also been invited to bring it to other countries, London, Germany, Sweden, Norway, as the actual show itself, as the actual induction ceremony. But I'm thinking of actually doing a tour around it as well, and some other outreach events that will go all year round, which will be a lot of fun for the fans too, and they can directly interact with a lot of people and see some great things, you know, that they've grown up with their whole lives. So that's really what I'm excited about for the whole, you know, for the tour aspect of it.
All right. Well, yeah, that does sound exciting, you know, a traveling display even that can go from city to city. Very cool. So I did want to bring this back around to you a little bit. I know I heard you say this about 100 times that night, and I think it really speaks great about your character. You keep saying it's not about you, but I do want to make this a little bit about you. Can you tell me, you know, what is heavy metal mean to you personally? You talked a little bit about the drumming, of course, about how that was an important part of your childhood, but what does heavy metal specifically mean to you personally?
Well, it means a lot to me. You know, as I mentioned earlier, you know, I had a severe battle with a disability as a child myself. I didn't speak until I was about 4 years old. Actually, I tried to speak when I was about 4 years old, but I couldn't. I had a severe stuttering problem, so I couldn't speak. And I had braces on my legs from my ankles to my knees because I had no fine motor skills. I had issues with walking. And I was also severely dyslexic, so I couldn't read. But at the same time, I wanted to be a drummer. And how ironic is that, right? I mean, it was very, very difficult. You know, it took me, oh, geez, a year. I would play 3 to 4 hours every day, and it took me 1 year just to be able to coordinate my left hand and my left foot to come down together at the same time. But what I didn't know what I was doing was retraining the synapses in my brain through the repeated exposure to the rhythms and patterns of drumming. I would later pioneer that as drum therapy many years later. But one of the key things that helped me was heavy metal music. You know, there's Ozzy and Sabbath and Purple. And that's something that I've really latched onto and really, really helped me, and especially with Randy Rhoads. You know, the other thing, just to get back to the event and tie it in with, you know, the topic that we're on right now is Randy Rhoads. Randy was such a huge influence to me as well. And I'm just so fortunate, you know, his family was there, his brother and sister, Kathy and Kelly, were there at the event as well. And what an honor that was. And to be able to tell them personally, you know, how much Randy meant to me and what he did for me and how he helped me was just, doesn't get any better than that, you know?
Yeah, one of my favorite moments of the night, by the way. Their speech was really emotional and really beautiful.
Oh, my goodness, it sure was. But yeah. So that's how, you know, I got involved with drumming. That's how I got involved with heavy metal. And then, you know, later on over the years, becoming a professional drummer, I beat all my disabilities, thankfully, by the time I was in, like, junior high school. And, again, it all goes back to the drumming where I retrained the synapses in my brain. So, but I had to teach myself how to play the drums. You know, my drum lessons were horrendous. My teachers would yell and scream at me. And, of course, back, you know, in the 70s and 80s, you know, who knew what a disability was? Never mind, and no disrespect to drum teachers, me being one of them, too. But, you know, a drum teacher in the back of a music store somewhere, you know, they had no idea. When they would tell me, well, why are you playing this beat backwards? Or why are you doing that? Why are you doing this? And I would try to explain that I had a disability, especially with the dyslexic part of it, right? Because drumming is a lot of right hands and left hands, and R for right hand, L for left hand. So, of course, I would invert everything, and that would just drive them nuts. So I had to develop my own system of drumming, which I did, and even with you know, my book through Alfred Music Publishing, Drum Therapy, which I'm so grateful for that too, to help, you know, drum teachers who might have a student with a disability and how to, you know, work with them. So that kind of wrapped everything up, my drumming, the heavy metal, and everything all into one tight package, which allowed me to move forward.
And now, so you've already mentioned Randy Rhoads as a musician, but let's talk a little bit about that, about musicians and drummers who've inspired you over the years. Who are influences on you?
Oh, yeah, great influence. I mean, of course, Ian Paice was great. Terry Bozzio, Bill Bruford. When I mention metal, I'm not so much into the heavy, you know, death metal kind of thing. I never was into that. But, you know, being an age where I was able to see a lot of it start is pretty inspiring to me. And there's just so many great drummers out there, too. I mean, it's just, you know, Tommy Aldridge is wonderful. And, you know, there's just a lot of great drummers. So, yeah, my biggest influences are Ian Paice, Terry Bozzio, Bruford. So I'm grateful for all those guys, you know, leading the way, too.
Oh, yeah, and those are some great names. Yeah, I know that Terry Bozzio, he's barely human. I mean, with the stuff he does, it's amazing. You touched on something that's interesting about metal, is that, you know, metal has so many different flavors. I mean, there's the death metal, there's, you know, and you talk about Yes, I mean, there's prog. I mean, there's probably more flavors of metal. How do you feel about that kind of stuff in the future of the hall?
I knew that was coming. How did I know you were going to ask that question?
Sorry, you led me there.
I guess I did. Well, I guess I opened that door. But great question, though. And I get asked that a lot, too. But I think there's certain genres without, you know, disrespecting any of them, because they're all great, and I like many styles. But the Hall of Heavy Metal History, I think, needs to stay true to exactly what it is. You know, those pioneers. And there's only, you know, a very definitive group of those guys who helped bring metal from its infancy to where it is today, you know, over the years. So that's, I think that specific group is where that specific genre of metal, I think, is what I would like to stick with for the most part. You know, the other important thing too is, of course, letting the fans getting in on the induction process, which is great. We're doing some great things. We're going to be announcing some wonderful partnerships where the fans can get involved, because it's all about the fans too, you know. They need something like this, and as a fan, I wanted something like this too. That's why I, you know, I started it from a fan's perspective as well. So the fans will have a big role in the whole nomination process too, and there's a whole board of directors. You know, it's not just me saying, well, let's think this one, let's think that one. So we have a whole board that will then decide the whole nominating process. But the important thing, I think, more so than any other awards show, is making this about the fans, because it's about them too.
All right. That's really, really well said. And again, I appreciate it. I'm looking forward to watching this grow. I mean, the first go-round is supposed to be a disaster, and it really wasn't. It was a really great time and a really important thing. So again, I appreciate the opportunity to actually be there and be part of history. Just speaking on behalf of the whole metal community, who appreciates all of our founders, the names who were inducted and all that, we appreciate what you've done and what you've created.
Well, thank you so much. I am so happy that you were there, and I hope you're going to be a part of this too every year as we continue to grow and make it more accessible to the fans and make it more accessible to the world. You know, we need to stick together. We all need to stick together to show the world that heavy metal is a good, wonderful thing. Nothing to be afraid of, and it should not be irrelevant.
Couldn't have said it better myself. So let's close out with just direct some of our listeners to the websites and even physical spaces where they can go and learn more about the DAD program and the Hall of Heavy Metal History and anything else you want to lead people to. Your book too. Go for it.
Well, I thank you for that. I really do. And like I said, it's never ever about me. It's all about those little boys and girls. And through the Hall of Heavy Metal History, it's all about those musicians who are the pillars of heavy metal and, of course, to all the fans. So if anybody wants to check out the Hall of Heavy Metal History, they can go to thehallofheavymetalhistory.org. If they want to learn more about drum therapy, it's dadprogram.org.
All right, great. And the name of your book is Drum Therapy by Pat Giswaldo. It's available on Amazon or other music
retailers?
Yeah,
it's available, through actually the largest music publisher in the world, Alfred Music Publishing.
All right. Well, thank you again so much for your time, and it's been an honor talking to you, and thank you so much. Pat Giswaldo.
Thank you.